we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this March the 25th in the year of our Lord 2024. And guess what this Sunday is? Easter Sunday. And that's what we're going to be talking about, because that's what the readings are all about, Easter Sunday. The readings are from Isaiah 25, 1 Corinthians 15, and Mark 16. Now, it's in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, that the resurrection is talked about. It says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. So they believed that he was still dead, that he was buried in the tomb. Anointing him is referring to Jesus Christ. And so very early on the first day of the week, that be a Sunday, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone from us from the entrance of the tomb? And men had done that earlier, and then soldiers at the command of Pontius Pilate had actually sealed the tomb. So it would be very difficult for the women to roll away the stone. And in looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Now, most translations in the English say, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. But the fact of the matter is that it is a present tense, who is crucified. Now, how do you understand that? Well, I like, and I've used this before, walking down the street with my father and a friend comes and he knows me, but he doesn't know my dad. So he says, hi, Tom, how you doing? I say, I'm doing okay. And he said, who's that with you? And I say, he was my father. Well, you can imagine what my father's going to say after I say that. He'll ask me, what do you mean, I was your father? I am your father. And I would say, well, you became my father when I was conceived. But that doesn't mean, he says, that I'm still not your father. In the same way, Jesus of Nazareth is best understood as the one who is the crucified one who has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, the angel says, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So that's the Gospel of Mark. Gives a very clear picture of the historicity of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we want to spend our time today in taking a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why? Well, you may have heard of the word apologetics. The word apologetics doesn't mean that we are sorry for talking about Jesus rising from the dead, but it means this is the defense that Jesus rose from the dead. Now, unfortunately, there are some theologians who believe in evidential apologetics. That is, they think they can prove that Jesus rose from the dead by means of science or by means of convincing people in talking to them. But it all depends how they talk to them. Like, there are those who say, well, the Bible hasn't hardly changed at all over many years. Have they not understood what is the critical apparatus? If you open a Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, or a Greek Bible, the New Testament, you will find at the bottom of the page many, many changes in the text. And scholars have to figure out what are the original statements. And it's very important that you can't lose, you have no evidence for what you are proving. Now, that sounds strange. If there's no evidence that Jesus rose from the dead, then what is the apologetic defense that the Apostle Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 15? He begins, "Now I would remind you, brothers." Whoa. What does that mean? That means he's trying to make sure that the brothers, who are, of course, the Christians, brothers and sisters, that they need to be reminded of something. And when you're reminded of something, that is either something you experienced or you heard. And so he's going to remind them of what? The next words are really critical. "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you." Now, what does that mean? What's the gospel? Well, that's why this program is called Law and Gospel. Paul does not remind them of the law. Look, you have been obedient to the law, and therefore you will be saved. No, that is not his defense. That is not his reason why they're going to be saved. He says, "I want to remind you of the gospel," and that refers to the life, the death, the resurrection, and the exaltation of Jesus Christ. So, he says, "Of the gospel I preached to you." Now, you can't find anywhere in the gospel that Paul preaches that he's using evidence to show them that Jesus rose from the dead. No, the gospel is a message that is a revelation from God, the Father, and the Holy Spirit concerning the importance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you had been at the crucifixion there is no evidence that Jesus was dying for the sins of the world, except his words. That's the gospel. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. However, you needed to believe that gospel, because there was no evidence that he was dying for the sins of the world. If there had been evidence at the cross outside of his word, then all people would have believed in him. If I show you evidence of something and you can test it and you know it is correct, you believe it. It's like I'll walk into a room and it's dark and I'll show to my 3 or 4 year old kids, well, the way you make it light is you turn this switch up on the wall, and all of a sudden, the room lightens up. Now, they see what I'm doing, and they now believe something that they were unaware of. They were unaware of that switch that would turn on the light. Now they're aware of it. So if 3 days later we walk into the same room and it's dark, and I say, oh no, there's no light here, they would be reminded of the switch. And they would say, Dad, just push up that switch. That's the gospel. It's a reminder of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, I would remind you of the gospel I preach to you. The gospel has no evidence that it is true. We believe the gospel because of the word of God. In fact, Paul goes on, I remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you received. Now, what does that mean? Well, they heard the gospel, and he says, you now stand in it, and by which you are being saved. If. Now, what follows if? If you obey the word of God? If you obey the Ten Commandments? No. You're not saved by the law. But if you hold fast to the word I preach to you. Now, when you hold fast to the word somebody preached to you, you aren't saved by obedience. Are you not saved by belief instead? Someone tells you something that makes no sense at all, that has no evidence, namely that Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins. The only evidence of that is found in the word preached. It is the gospel that helps you to interpret the actions of Jesus Christ. When he did miracles, a lot of people assumed, let's make him a king. Then he can do our miracles in our life here on earth. But these were not the purpose of the miracles. They were instead a foretaste of the life you were going to have when you died and you went to heaven. This is what people believed. And Paul says, it's the word I preach to you. No evidence. Unless you believed in vain, which means that what you're believing in wasn't true. So, Paul continues with his apologetic defense of why Christ rose from the dead. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 15. For I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with what? Evidence? No. In accordance with the Scriptures. Now, when Paul is writing 1 Corinthians, the Scriptures refer to the Old Testament books of the Bible. And there, again and again, it talks about that the Messiah, the Christ, will come and die in accordance with what the Scripture says, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with what? In accordance with any evidence? No. In accordance with the Scriptures. And that's referring to the Word of God. Verse 5. And that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter, and then to the 12. And remember, by the second Sunday, when Thomas was present, Jesus appeared in the upper room. And he just appeared there. The only evidence that the Apostle Thomas had to refer to Jesus as my Lord and my God was that he saw him. Then it says he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Now, that's another revelation. When you die here on earth, you do not go out of existence any more than when you go to bed at night and fall asleep. People don't walk into your bedroom and say, oh, that person is dead. No, he's alive, but he that is asleep, and they are asleep, their bodies, until the day of judgment. 500 brothers were seen. Now, some people say, see, there's evidence that Jesus rose from the dead because 500 brothers saw him. There's no evidence that 500 people saw him. It's a part of the Scriptures. If you have faith given to you by the Holy Spirit, then you will believe that 500 people saw Jesus after he had risen from the dead. There's no evidence for that. It's simply the Word of God. Then it says Jesus appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And James, of course, we believe is the brother of Jesus who became pastor in the Jerusalem church. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Now, when did Jesus appear to the Apostle Paul? It was when he was still Saul, on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians and put them to death. And Jesus appeared to him. He spoke to him from the clouds. Paul fell off the horse and was blinded. That's why he considers himself least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because, and that's his verse 9, because I persecuted the church of God. But by what? By my obedience, God saved me? Now, that's absolutely ridiculous to think that anybody is saved by obedience to the law. And Paul certainly was not, for he was disobedient to the law because he persecuted the church. He refers to himself as unworthy to be called an apostle. That is, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. Now, what's the grace of God? It's not God's justice in the sense that he now gives you salvation because you deserve it. No. From the point of view of the law, we never deserve eternal salvation. But from the point of view of grace, we receive it. For grace is God's attitude toward us in giving us what we do not deserve. Just as mercy is not giving to us what we deserve. So, Paul's defense that Jesus rose from the dead and that he is saved is by a message, not by any evidence. And the message is, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace toward me was not in vain. Why? Because on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them. Though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Now, what evidence do you have that the grace of God is with you? You only have his promise. That, for example, if you have been baptized, you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins. But you did not recognize that when you were baptized. You believed it instead. And why did you believe it? Because of the word of God preached to you. Just as the pastor in baptizing an infant says, I baptize you into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is how the benefits of the cross extend to you. Not only by the sacrament of baptism, but as you get confirmed and again believe much of what Luther's Small Catechism, what it says as a summary of the Bible, as you believe that which is preached, you now receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. Very, very, very important for your salvation. When you approach the Lord's Supper, you don't see his body. You don't see his blood. You see instead bread and wine. What is the evidence that it is his body and blood? There is no evidence. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit that you believe that in receiving the bread and the wine, you are receiving the true body and blood of Jesus Christ in that sacrament. And therefore, your sins are forgiven. Paul concludes in verse 11. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. That is a huge difference than being saved by obedience. He doesn't say, so you taught me the law and I obeyed it. No, you instead preached. And what is preaching? Preaching is the word of God from Scripture, not from any kind of evidence. Instead, that's the apologetics of the Apostle Paul. They or I preach to you. And remember, in Timothy's case, it was his grandmother and his mother who preached to him. And he believed. Faith comes not by obedience, lest anyone thinks they can boast. It comes through hearing the word of God and trusting in the promises. That's why you're saved. Join us tomorrow for the hymn.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.